tonight, I'm going to deal with a new subject. And this morning, these were new subjects that I haven't dealt with here before. And tonight is another new subject that we haven't dealt with here. Now, you've all experienced it. Okay? You've all had it in your life. It's been a problem for you. So this evening, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and let's stand together. We're going to turn to 1 John again, Ephesians chapter 6, and let's stand together as we read Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6. Tonight, I'm going to talk with you about dealing with stress. Dealing with stress. Now, how many of you have never, you would sit here tonight and say, that has never been a problem for me. Okay, but we know better. But now how are we going to deal with it? Okay, Ephesians, dealing with stress. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6 says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the what, folks? The heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Now let's turn over to 1 John chapter 1. We're going to start reading with verse 4. And it says, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we've heard of him and declare unto you, that God is what, folks? Light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us, present tense, from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's begin by having prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to come and to present your word. We know that you love us and you want us to be able to function properly, to be spirit-controlled people, to be honoring you in our life, in our walk, our talk, our thoughts. And I pray right now that I pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. I submit myself to you right now. Pray that my mind and my heart will be yours. I pray, God, that you'll help us now. I pray, God, if there's a person here that's unsaved tonight, that they might see their need of salvation before they leave here this evening. And Lord, if there's a person that's out of fellowship with you, that their fellowship could be restored tonight. And Lord, on this subject now, I pray that you'll give each one of us clarity. Give me clarity. And I pray, God, you'll help me in presenting this subject, which is so very important to us. Now we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, how many of you have ever had stress in your life? Now, if you didn't raise your hand, you're lying. Okay? So, but the reality of it is that most of us think that that's just the way life is. Okay? And that we need to let it, you know, that it's just something that happens and that's the way it is. Well, no, that's not just the way it is. So, Kim, and my desire is that to be an encouragement and help to those who need help. And the number one thing that we do as biblical counselors, and by the way, we have been doing biblical counseling for 38 years. So keep in mind that we were doing it before it ever became popular, and we were one of the first ones to ever do it. And so we're very thankful for that opportunity. But the number one thing that I do as a biblical counselor and marriage speaker is to try to help people to move out of a feelings-dominated, emotion-controlled life and into a controlled by the Holy Spirit biblical principle-driven life. And we seek to help people move out of doer mentality, performance-based Christianity, into a spirit-controlled life. Now, if you know someone who needs help, you know, then you can have them contact us. And we'll be glad to share what our program is about and how it can change their life for the honor and glory of God. Over all these years, Kim and I have heard from many different people who have contacted us about help at Hope Biblical Counseling Center, saying, I'm just stressed out and I feel like I'm falling apart. Do you feel that way today? I'm just stressed out. I'm falling apart. And you know, now you may not at this moment, but the devil may make sure that that happens to you tomorrow after you've heard this. Now, or have you been feeling that way for a while? Now, we live in a high-impact society. And there are multiple things, relationships, jobs, activities, challenges, people, gossip, anger, bitterness, and difficulties to take up our time, attention, and when they do, we feel pressure or we feel stressed out. Sometimes stress is caused by physical issues in our life, or it causes physical issues in our life. So when someone talks to us about stress, we encourage them, first of all, to see their family doctor and have a physical done. Just make sure that everything is operating, you know, properly. But stress can cause many issues. And fundamentally, listen to me carefully now, fundamentally, everything in life is a spiritual heart issue. Do you hear me? Fundamentally, everything in life is a spiritual heart issue. Now, don't miss that. Now let's turn back to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And look at verse 6. We were just in a church in north of Saskatoon, Canada. And anybody ever been to Saskatoon? Yes. Okay. Well, we went an hour north. Now, Canada, at the farther north you get, the less populated it is. And there was a town there called Radisson. And Radisson is a town of about 500 people, and it has a small independent Baptist church, a one-room schoolhouse. And the pastor had, you know, we were having a meeting down in Saskatoon. He wanted to know if we would come up and have a meeting for them. Well, Sunday morning, that one-room schoolhouse was filled with people. And so they determined, you know, that we're not going to be able to, you know, and they were getting inquiries from other people all over wanting to come. And so they, but in Radisson, they had, first time in my life I've seen this, they had dirt roads. Okay? And the main street in town was a dirt road. You know, and now most generally, we got gravel or we got something on there, you know. But, so no fences on either sides of the roads. And so the pastor had rented a place called the barn. And so we met in a barn with stuffed animals, you know, mountain lion, all kinds of different animals up behind me, okay. I was just hoping they wouldn't come down, you know, amen. So, but the reality is that people came from all over that area. And we had a great meeting, and I preached this for the first time. And at the end, some young lady came. It's been a long time since I've seen this happen. She got out of her seat and she ran to the altar and collapsed down on it. And then her parents came, got down beside her. Stress can cause a lot of problems in your life. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6, it says, not with eye service as men pleasers. You see that? I service as men pleasers, but the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Not your will, but doing the will of God from the heart. And notice in verse 7, with good will doing service as to who? The Lord, and not to men. Now, doing the will of God from the heart as to the Lord and not to men. When we feel stressed, it's important that we ask God the question where our heart is. We have our old nature, and therefore it's imperative that we ask God about our heart daily to be in fellowship with Him. But clearly in the church today, there's not nearly enough attention given to our fellowship with God. Now, the most important decision you're ever going to make in your life is to realize that there has to be a time in your life, just like it was for me. You know, I was fully consumed with being the best baseball player I could be. And at that time, I was one of the best. And quite frankly, that's what I wanted to do. But God had a different idea about it. And you know, when we feel stressed, it's important that we ask God where our heart is. So the most important thing that's ever going to happen in your life is that you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not that you're a church member, not that you think that you're a good person, because for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And so in essence, it comes to a place in time where you have to realize that you're lost. And you come to a place where you're willing to turn from yourself and turn from your sins and turn to Jesus Christ, who alone can save you. You got to turn from yourself. I had spent a lot of time with a counselee here recently who was really struggling. And he had given up this and this and this and this and this, thinking that that was going to save him. And he hated that he was mad at God because he had to give up something. Or he thought that he did. And so he ended up getting saved the other night. But stress city. Now, stress can be caused by what we put upon ourselves. And so clearly in the church today, there's not enough attention given to our fellowship with God. Now, I said this morning, but I'm going to repeat it tonight because you need to understand it. You've got to understand it. Okay, the book of 1 John speaks about our fellowship with God being important and checking our heart about this every day, and maybe even multiple times a day. The church today is struggling with spiritual paralysis because of anger, pride, gossip, critical spirit, among other things that causes lack of fellowship with God. Now again, Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And, you know, who can know it? So we've got this old nature, and, you know, God didn't take it away when we got saved. So our heart is what? Desperately what? Wicked. So you need to understand that. You know, and it says, who can know it? All right, now, keep in mind, it says, verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. So I want God to search my heart every day and multiple times a day. Show me if there's anything that's standing between you and me. Show it to me. Now, do you think if you ask God to show it to you, He'll show it to you? He says He'll search the heart. And 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, we are New Testament Christians. The Holy Spirit is here, and the Holy Spirit is the one that searches now. God the Holy Spirit. So when I ask God to search my heart, it's God the Holy Spirit who's doing the searching. And by the way, He knows all about us. He knows exactly where our lusts are, what we're having problems with, all these kinds of things. So I want to ask Him, is there any sin that stands between you and me? I want you to show it to me right now. And He will. And if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And you know, Now, I'm going to say this to you, and I'll get into it later. I'm just going to introduce it out here to you, but I'll get into it later this week. And most of you that have been here any length of time know this, but there's at least 82 different lusts that a Christian can have in their life. Okay? And generally speaking, they have at least 3 demand lusts, which means a lust that's controlling behavior in your life. You ever found yourself saying, why do I always do that? How come I feel that way? Okay, it's a demand lust controlling behavior. Now, okay, demand lust, i.e., think of an alcoholic or a drug addict. Is that controlling their behavior? Yes. But there's at least 80 others that are out there. And we have, you know, when we get to week 7 in our counseling program, we have the change sheet. And by the way, the change sheet is in the back of Worry, Anxiety, and Fear booklet. And it's also in the back of What Should I Do If I'm Doubting My Salvation? And so most people who are doubting their salvation is because they have a demand lust in their life. Okay, and most independent Baptist pastors will say, well, you know, if they'll say, I think I'm doubting my salvation. I'm not sure I'm saved. Okay, well, let's pray again. Well, you know what? They've prayed 100 times already. All right, get it? Yes? It's, and by the way, it is extremely stressful. Okay, and so the reality of it is that what we have to do is determine if the Holy Spirit is in them or not. Instead of just praying again. And praying again. Now, by the way, you know, it wasn't that long ago, I had a pastor who called me. He was the pastor of a church of 1,000 people. And he said, I hate to call you on this, but he said, I'm not sure I'm saved. And he'd been the pastor of that church for 15 years. Now, my thought was, originally, you've been the pastor of this church for 15 years, and he said, I said, how far back does this go? He says, it goes back to before I went to Bible college. He's been living in mortal fear all that time. Think about that. My first thought was, what are you preaching on Sunday? Get it? You know, and so I ask him, you talk about stressed out. So I said, all right, what we're going to do is determine if the Holy Spirit is in you or not. And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you to pray and ask God to show you if the Holy Spirit is in you or not. And then I'm going to pray and ask God to show you if the Holy Spirit is in you or not, because Romans 8:9 says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. And so he prayed, his prayer was this. He said, God, I'm ashamed to ask you this question. And I said, you're going to have to ask it. And he asked God to show him. And then I prayed and asked God to show him. I said, well, what did God show you? He said, that I am saved, that the Holy Spirit is in me. And I said, okay, now, you're sure of that, right? This has went on for a long time. And he said, yes. And so I prayed then and asked God to make it real to him. Now, Every now and then I get a call or something from him. He's doing extremely well. Praise God. Amen? Amen. Took that stress away. Not too long ago, I got a call from a pastor who said, I have a man in my church. He says that he's been in and out of the hospital because he is doubting his salvation. And he said, in fact, he's been suicidal over this. At the age of 16, he made a profession of faith. Went to Bible college, graduated from Bible college, went to the mission field, came back from the mission field because he was doubting his salvation. Went back to the mission field, came back from the mission field because he was doubting his salvation. Under immense stress, in and out of the hospital, sedating him to get him to settle down. And the pastor told me, he says, Dr. Coomer, he said, I don't know what to do. He said, I've done everything I know to do. I don't know what to do to help him. So we went through the same procedure. Satan likes to deter people, and they're not going to move any farther spiritually if they're doubting their salvation. And it is a stressful, debilitating situation. We went through the same thing, and he went through our counseling program. Now, I want you to hear me. When his pastor called me, he was 60 years old. So this had went on his whole life. Brain makes me want to cry just thinking about it. But today, he's now serving with joy in his local church. He's a trustee. He's moving forward for God, and every now and then I hear from him saying, thank you. Thank you for helping me. And in fact, he came to a meeting in Lafayette, and he says, Indiana, and he says, I can share a testimony. I said, well, let's just make sure that we move on here a little bit more before we do that. But, he's doing well, and I praise God for that. Amen? That stress is gone in his life. But when we feel stressed, it's important to ask God where our heart is. We have an old nature, and therefore it's imperative that we ask God about our heart daily to be in fellowship with him. Clearly, in the church today, there's not enough emphasis on this. Now, extremely important, are you out of fellowship with God? Now, have you went days without asking God to search your heart? Maybe years. That you're just going through the motions of your life? Stressed out? Struggling with stress? Now, back in 1 John, again, let's go back there. 1 John chapter 1. I want you to notice with me. It says, this then is the message, in verse 5, this then is the message which we've heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. In him is no what? No darkness at all. If, verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We're lying to ourselves and we're lying to God. Now, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We're not practicing the truth in our life. Now, we've got this old nature. We've got to deal with it. So I need to be asking God those questions every day. Is there any sin that stands between you and me? I want you to show it to me. Make it real to me. Now, I'm going to confess that. Turn from it. Now, another way that you can determine that a demand lust is in your life is, let's say that you today ask God to show you if there's any sin in your life. And he shows you this. You know, it's going to be within those 82 lusts. And he's going to show you this. And so a day or two later, you ask God to show you if there's any sin that's in your life, and that comes up again. And maybe a day or two later, you ask God to show you if there's any sin in your life, and that comes up again. If it comes up more than three times in a short period of time, it's a demand lust controlling behavior. It's a demand lust controlling behavior. So therefore, the reason why many Christians are stressed out is because they have demand lust in their life that they're not dealing with, and they're miserable because of it. Y'all with me? Yes or no? Okay, now. So he says here in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we're not practicing the truth. And we're not, do not the truth. We're not practicing the truth in our life. Now, and so we're capable of doing all of those sins I talked about this morning in Galatians 5. Now, these verses are immensely powerful, but verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, notice it's if. Starts off with if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the question is if we're going to do that or not. So I'm going to ask God to show me, is there any sin that stands between you and me today? Would you make it real to me? Is there any hurt? Kim talked about this with the ladies Saturday. Is there any hurt in my life right now that I'm allowing to control me? Many times what we find is that it's the ladies that are really struggling with the hurt issue. That's the reason why Kim did what she did, you know, in putting that together. And then she brought it to me and I said, wow, this is really good stuff. And, you know, and she was going to speak to a ladies group on hurt. I said, it's really good stuff. And so I said, I think we ought to publish it. And she's like, oh, you know. And I said, well, yeah, I think we ought to. But then she said, will you look at it and see if there's anything else that needs to be added to it? And I did, and we added some more stuff to it and published it. But it's all her on that subject. Dealing with hurt. And you know what? There's going to be hurts that are going to come to your life that you are going to have to deal with. And sometimes those hurts are extremely difficult. But I need to realize that I need to be in fellowship with God. And so I can't let people, you know, I'm going to get hurt by people or I'm going to get hurt by circumstances. And I can't let either one of those control me. I have to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And so, then the third question, it's a big one. And we have the new booklet back there on bitterness. Is there any bitterness in my heart right now? Just show it to me. Any bitterness in my heart right now? Now, bitterness and anger are cousins. And bitterness, everything that comes off of bitterness, you know, anger, wrath, all that kind of stuff. Never fails if I go preach at preacher's fellowships. You know, somebody will, they have a question and answer times, and always some pastor will say, well, brother, what about righteous indignation? Well, I got news for you. Those two words aren't even used together in the Bible. The Bible says that we put off anger. And the Bible says that anger is a deceitful lust. And so don't you justify your anger just because you want to do so. Amen? There's no way to justify that type of... And I always hear the question, well, Jesus got angry. Well, I got news for you. Jesus is God and you're not. Got it? The bottom line is that the Bible has a whole lot to say about anger. And none of it is good. Now, so is there any bitterness in my heart? And because bitterness is a root sin, I got to deal with it differently. I got to ask God to forgive me for it, but then I have to ask God to take it out of my heart, because He's the only one that can. Because I've allowed a root of bitterness in my heart. And by the way, if you've allowed a root of bitterness in your heart, it's going to affect everybody around you. I guess maybe one of the ways to explain, it's just like COVID. Everybody's going to get infected. You know, we went to a church here recently, and Kim wasn't feeling well. And there was a lady who came up to the book table at the previous church and said, I'm not feeling well, and coughed on her. Okay? And so Kim started not feeling well. A couple days later, we get to the next church, and she is really getting sick. And so she, you know, they had a big foyer, and she was sitting over in the corner, you know, with a mask on and all this kind of stuff. And we had a lady in that church that had been through our counseling program, and she knew about the book, so she helped at the book table. We're driving home. And thank the Lord it didn't affect me on Sunday, but we're driving home on Monday, and we have 14 hours to drive home. And she is coughing and hacking and going on. And, you know, Laura, by the time we get home, I got it. And we were really sick. And so after about 3 or 4 days of running 102, 103 temperature and, you know, shaking and all kinds of stuff, I'm beginning to think maybe we got COVID, you know. Or so we go and get, I went first and got tested. Came back that I had type A flu. Okay, and of course they told me, well, type A flu is the worst you can have. Ew. Okay, you know. And so Kim, 8 days later, was still being tested. She tested positive for type A flu. So we were sick for about 3 weeks because somebody came up and coughed on us, on her. Then she coughed on me. She was sharing, okay? Now, what I want, you know, so, in essence, bitterness is contagious. And when you have bitterness in your heart, somebody, you know, if your wife has bitterness in her heart, you know, you're going to get it. If your husband has bitterness in his heart, you're going to get it. If the children have, you know, you have bitterness in your heart, the children are going to get it. Children have bitterness in their heart, they're going to give it. And, you know, it just perpetuates itself. So bitterness is a root sin, and there's a lot of things that bitterness causes. And if you have bitterness in your heart, you're going to be stressed. Got it? Yes? Okay, now, let's go farther. I want you to look with me at 1 John chapter 2 and look at verse 16. And notice that it says this. Now, being stressed out, I want you to listen carefully to this. I may even want to write it down. Being stressed out indicates we have a heart issue or heart issues. Being stressed out indicates we have a heart issue or issues in our life, demanding more attention than our fellowship with God. I'm going to say it again. Being stressed out indicates we have a heart issue or issues, in our life demanding more attention than our fellowship with God. Whenever a person is constantly feeling stressed out, there's a huge biblical word that we need to consider. I want you to listen to me. And that word is pride. Pride is always playing a part somewhere in my life and in my stress. Pride means I believe I can live independently from God. So I want to say that again. When a person is constantly feeling stressed out, this huge biblical word we need to consider, and the word is pride. Pride is always playing a part somewhere in my life and in my stress. And pride means that I believe that I can live independently from God. When I live independently from God, I'm living a prideful life. Therefore, I believe what I want, what I must do, my wants and desires are more important, especially when I cannot do what my flesh wants to do. Pride. 49 times in the Bible, God mentions this. And whenever God wants to make a point in the Bible, He always repeats it. So He repeated it 49 times. So let's consider this verse, 1 John 2:16. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and notice, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Do you notice it says, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, turn back to James chapter 4. We do a lot of marriage counseling. And most generally when a couple comes in, you know, especially when we were pastoring, when they come in, they are not friends. They're not happy with each other. Now, I want you to look at James chapter 4. Look at verse 1 with me. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your what, ladies and gentlemen? Lusts that war in your members. So, what is the problem then? Why are they fighting? What's it say? Because of their lusts. You notice it's plural, meaning more than one. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? So the reality of it is that there is a demand lust controlling behavior, and it's causing them to fight for what they want. And if both people have demand lusts and they're fighting for their demand lusts, they're going to be what? Stressed out. I've had guys walk in and say, and pastors heard this numerous times, Billy has too, I only had a love seat in my office. Get it? So that when they came in, they had to sit beside each other. And I've had men walk in and say, you mean I got to sit by her? I mean, if I knew that I had to sit by her, I wouldn't have came to counseling. Yeah. By the way, that goes on more than you think. Well, then my answer is always this. Did you say that you loved her when you married her? Well, yes. Then sit down. Because this is the only place you're going to sit other than the floor. Well, Notice that lusts, plural. So I said, how many is there that's available? 82. Now, verse 2, it says, you lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. So what does it do? It affects your prayer life. And notice this. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your what? Lusts. So they're even praying for their lusts that they're so far out there. My lusts are always a problem because of my pride. And therefore, I fight for my lusts. So in fighting for my lusts, I'm stressed out. So do you feel stressed out today? You don't have to raise your hand, but just think about it. Do you feel stressed out this week? Now, I want you to think about what these verses say. We're going to take a little turn in Bible turning. Let's go back to Psalm 10 and look at verse 4 with me. Psalm 10. Notice what it says. Psalm 10, verse 4. And this would be a verse to underline and circle something. Psalm 10, 4. The wicked, through the what, folks? Pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. Will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. Why? Because of his what? Pride. I can live independently from God. So let me ask you tonight, what have you been thinking about? What you want? Why others are standing in the way of you having your way? And notice, not seeking after God. God is not in your thoughts. I can become so consumed with everything that God is not in my thoughts. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. So, only by pride cometh contention. So, what is the big player in people being stressed out then? Pride. Now, have your days been filled with contention? I can tell you that the people who come to us in counseling, their days have been filled with contention. Proverbs 14:13 says, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. So, you know, you got people that are laughing, but they're really on the inside feeling miserable. They're stressed. Is that the way you feel today? Smiling on the outside, but not on the inside? Many times, stressed out is a control issue caused by pride. I recently heard someone who has contacted us for help say, I went to the doctor because I was feeling so bad and all the tests came back normal. So why am I feeling so bad and so stressed out? Well, let's talk about control issues for a minute. Are you a person that's got to have control? One of the issues of pride is I must have control, and I'm stressed out because I want control of others, their issues, their lives, and their decisions. When do I come to the place that what others do is not my problem? You know, a lot of pastors are stressed out because of what the people do. You know, as much as you want, you cannot control the decisions of others. People will make their own decisions, good or bad. And when I try to control others' decisions and choices, I can easily get stressed out. Amen? And you know, I'm thinking, what a dumb decision they made even after I told them what was right. You know, I have people come into my office as a pastor, and I was a pastor for a long time. 42 years. I have people come in my office and I say, all right, here's what the Bible says. They go out and do exactly the opposite. Now, you know, Eugene and I could say, here we go again. I told them. And they did. So, no, I immediately got to stop, think, and submit and turn them over to who? God. Turn them over to God. You know? One thing I try to share with our counselees is that, listen to me carefully, you're not responsible for others' decisions. Do you hear me? You're not responsible for others' decisions. Now I'm going to go meddling a little bit. Parents with adult children. We have to understand they are adults. Have you ever met parents who are still telling their children what they're going to do even though they're adults, married, and have children? And, you know, then the parent gets stressed out when the adult child doesn't listen to their advice. I had this discussion recently. I heard, I love my children and I don't want them to make a mistake, but they're stressing me out. Now, folks, the better part of wisdom here is to not give unsolicited advice. And one of the things I encourage our counselees to do when asked for advice is state this to the adult child. What do you think about it? Wow. So, Billy, you tell them, what do you think about it? And they'll say something along this line. You hear what they have to say, and rather than jump in and give them advice and feel rather good and proud about yourself, pride, get that? That you've straightened them out. Pride always plays a part in this, and when they make another decision rather than what you told them to do, you're angry, hurt, and stressed out. When dealing with giving advice to adult children, ask God first. Now listen carefully to me. Is this something I should speak about or not? You know, because most generally you're going to open your mouth and say, well, now you should be doing this. Why are you doing that? Don't be doing this. You should be doing that. Get it? So the question here is this. God, do you want me to speak about this or not? And you know, if God says no, then turn the matter over to Him. But if God says yes, I want you to remember an especially important point about this and stressed out. Make sure you're spirit controlled and speak the truth in love. And the more truth you speak, the more love you use. Now turn back to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. And this would be an underliner in your Bible for parents. And it also would be an underliner in your Bible if you're married. Now, take a look at it with me, but speaking the truth in what, folks? Love may grow up in Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So, if I'm going to ask God the question first, and by the way, this is a buffer to keep you from running off at the mouth and saying things you shouldn't be saying. So, this is a buffer. Okay, God, you know, quite frankly, especially with husbands and wives, is this my problem or is it His problem? Is this my problem or is it her problem? Now, do you think God's going to answer you on that? Yeah, He is. He's going to say, this is her problem, not yours. Then the next question is, well, if it's the other party's problem, should I speak or not? And God's going to say, yes, it's okay, or no, just turn it over to me. That's interesting. I've had many couples use this, and I've seen couples, they'll come back and especially the wife will say, you know, he was doing this, and it really bugged me. And I asked God if this was my problem or it was His problem. And God says it was His problem. And I asked God if I should speak, you know, because I was really wanting to tell Him what's for and then what. And God said, no, just turn it over to me. And 3 days later, He came back in and said, you know, I've been doing this and I'm sorry about that. Would you forgive me? And the wife's standing there going, Can you believe it? Okay? I mean, he actually said he was sorry. But here's the point. Now, notice what the verse says, but speaking the truth in love. So if God tells you to speak, you're going to speak the truth in what? In love. And the more truth you use, the more love you use. Now, probably a couple of times in our marriage, Kim has said, I would like to talk to you about something. Now, when she said that, I'm all ears, because I know that she's really wanting to walk with God and be the person she wants to be, and she wants me to be the person I should be. And so when she wanted to talk to me about it, I sat down and listened. Okay, now, look, ladies, he might not agree with you. But if God told you to speak, then you speak the truth in love, and the more truth you speak, the more love you use. But he may even explode, but then, you know what? All you're looking for is change, and 2 or 3 days later, he comes back in and says, you know, I'm sorry about that. Now, you can get all honked off, but just keep turning it over to God, and keep turning it over to God, and keep turning it over to God, and every time it comes up, keep turning it over to God, and let God work on his or her heart. When God says don't speak, he means don't speak. But if you speak, you speak the truth in love so that you may grow up in him. God wants us all to grow up. Got it? Amen? Amen. God wants us to grow up. So rather than be stressed. Now, what do you do? What to do? Realize that you're thinking incorrectly. God is not first in your thoughts. Everything else is. And daily ask God to check your heart. Lord, is there any sin standing between you and me? Confess it as sin. Turn it over to God. And maybe today you're not turning your thoughts over to God at the point of spiritual impact. You'll have multiple times a day where you'll have impact moments. Your thoughts go off to what others have said and done. You're hurt by it. You're stressed because your thoughts are out of control. At that moment, stop. Think. Submit yourself to the Holy Spirit, turn it over to God, and ask God what he wants you to praise him for and thank him for. And I'll tell you this, he'll put it right in your mind. And the moment you say, I want to praise you for this, it's like, it's almost, you know, it's lifted. Now, turn back to Philippians 4. Turn back to Philippians 4 and look with me. Just so you can see this point. Notice what it says. In Philippians 4:6, it says, be careful, or the word careful means anxious for nothing. Philippians 4:6, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. See it? With thanksgiving. That's God's first big tool for you. And God has given, not only is the Holy Spirit indwelling us, but God has given us tools. And if you go look up the word thanksgiving and you go look up the word praise, you're going to find that it's used many, 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 many times within these situations. Now, go down, and I want you to notice here in verses 6 through 8. And did you notice in verse 8 there's nothing negative there? I want to read it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue and there be any praise, second tool, think on these things. So, what do you want me to praise you for? What do you want me to thank you for? Amen? The point of impact. Stop, think, submit yourself to the Holy Spirit. What do you want me to praise you for? What do you want me to thank you for? And it'll pop into your mind so that you won't be focusing on negative. Now, and what happens? And you notice here it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Keep your hearts and what? Minds through Christ Jesus. You can have peace in your mind, and it's a peace that passes all understanding. Now, turn back to Hebrews chapter 13 and look at this. This is very important. It's an underliner in your Bible. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Notice what it says. Hebrews 13, 15. Underline this verse in your Bible. Circle these words. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God when? Continually. Circle it. Continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So when is this to be done? Continually. So anytime anything comes up here that shouldn't be here, I want to stop, think, I can't go here. I want to submit this to the Holy Spirit right now. What do you want me to praise you for? What do you want me to thank you for? And ding, something comes up right into your mind that you can praise and thank God for. Now, you know, we have a beagle. He's 3.5 years old. His name is Rocky. Some of you have met Rocky. He came to visit. Now, he's a little better behaved now than he was as a puppy. But he doesn't like loud noises. And so we're getting ready to leave, and we're in a major thunderstorm. It's thundering, lightning, and going on. And he sees the suitcases. When he sees the suitcases, that doesn't give him a whole lot of, you know, he knows we're leaving. And so then we had a visitor, a guy who from the church who was taking us to the airport. And so, you know, Rocky's like, they're leaving again? It's thundering out here? Look at this mess. And the last time they left me in the kennel and left like that, tornado came, you know. And tornado came and a tree fell on our house right near him. He wouldn't go back in the kennel for 3 days after that. But one of the things about him is he's a loving dog. He loves to play ball, loves to go for walks. I take him for walks. Kim takes him for walks. And he'll come and give you a hug, and so he gives us a lot of joy. And so I want to stop, think, submit, turn it over to God. What do you want me to praise you for? What do you want me to thank you for? And you know, sometimes what God brings up is my little dog, Rocky, who gives me joy. Lots of times it's Kim who gives me joy. There's other things that give me joy. And God makes sure that when I submit myself to the Holy Spirit, and so that, what do you want me to praise you for? What do you want me to thank you for? It's going to pop right here. And so that I won't be thinking, oh, my wife is dumber than a box of rocks. Or why did she make that dumb decision again? Or why did this happen this way? Or why are they talking about me at church? Why is this happening? Why? By the way, and Satan is a manipulator. And he wants you to think everybody at church is talking about you bad. Or that somebody doesn't like the way you do this. Or somebody doesn't like the way you do that. Or something else. By the way, if someone tells you something and it is constructive, good. So, okay, that's an area of my life maybe I need to take a look at. And Lord, I want to turn it over to you. So don't get so all hyped up about it. But if it's just continual criticism, then I'm just going to turn, you know, and I ask God to search my heart, show me if that's true or not. And if it's not, then I'm going to turn them over to God. Amen? And, you know, I notice in verse Hebrews 13, 15, this is to be done continually. Now, this is not optional equipment. It's to be done continually. When? At those impact moments when we need to control our thoughts rather than let them control us. And folks, make sure to deal with your sin daily, control your thoughts moment by moment by submitting to God immediately. Now, I want you to look at James chapter 4. Look at verse 7. What is the first word in verse 4 or verse 7? What is the first word? Submit. What's the second word? Submit yourselves, therefore, to who? James 4, 7. I want you to park there with me for just 1 minute. What is the first word? Submit. What is the second word?
Yourselves.
Okay. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. When? at the point of impact. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And when you submit yourself to God, you're submitting yourself to God, the Holy Spirit here. He's here right now. He's here to help us. So I'm submitting myself to the Holy Spirit right now. And by the way, 1 John 4, 4 says, greater is he that's in you, the Holy Spirit, than he that's in the world. So I'm going to submit myself, therefore, to the Holy Spirit right now. And what do you want me to praise you for? What do you want me to thank you for? And notice what it says. What's going to happen with Satan and what he's doing? He'll what? He'll flee. But you've got to use the tools that God has given you. Amen? And one of those tools is submission. It's a big one. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, the Holy Spirit. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Look at verse 8. Draw nigh to God by submission. You draw nigh to God by submission, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So if I'm living my life without being a spirit-controlled person and submitting to God at the point of impact, I'm a double-minded person. James 1:8 says, a double-minded person is unstable in all of his ways. It means you never know what they're going to do. One minute they can be here in church and say, boy, pastor, that was a great message. Praise God. I'll see you on Wednesday. Wednesday comes, they're not here. Sunday comes, they're not here. Well, what happened? They're what? They're unstable and they're double-minded. Because they've never learned how to control their thoughts. Do you know why? Do you know why that, depending on who takes the statistics and how they take them, that 60 to 80% of all young people that grow up in an independent Baptist church do not go on to serve God? You know why? Because they've never been taught how to have a real, intimate, personal, passionate relationship with God and to submit themselves at the point of impact. And so they're, you know, we can have every activity under the sun, okay? And but you don't teach them how to control their thoughts, they're going to end up living a life that's dishonoring to God. Amen? You understand? You're not going to keep them with worldly things. You're going to have to help them to realize that they need to grow up spiritually and that they learn how to control their thoughts at the point of impact. And as a parent, that's what I want to teach my children. As a husband, that's what I want my wife to know. As a husband, you know, my wife wants me to know that. And the reality here is so that I won't be stressed out all the time. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever gone days without spending meaningful time in God's Word? By the way, that's how come How to Have a Daily Time with God is back there. The people that come through our program and use How to Have a Daily Time with God and they continue to use it do very well. Those that don't do that because they're looking for something in this scripture and you'd have to read it to understand all of that, but you know what? If they don't continue to use it, they go back to their old ways. Because they'll say, oh, well, you know, I'm going to try this method of Bible study. I'm going to try this method of Bible study. And you know what? I want the Holy Spirit to speak to me every day. I want Him to show me what I have need of. I want Him to be real in my life so I can write it down. And by the way, repetition is the key to learning. It's one of the 7 laws of teaching. And so they'll read through 1 John for, 2 weeks. We have our counselee reads through 1 John 2 weeks, and they're asking God questions. Show me your message for me today. I want you to make it real to me. Okay, first of all, is there any sin in my life? Is there any hurt in my life that I'm lying to control me? Is there any bitterness in my life? Now I want you to show me your message for me today. God's message to me today. They go down 5 lines. A promise from God. They go down 5 lines. A command to keep. Go down 5 lines. my application. Five lines, additional comments. So as they're reading, they're asked, you know, they've dealt with their sin, they've asked the Holy Spirit to teach them and show them what they need, and so now they're focused and they're, show me your message for me today. And it pops right out of the verse, this is God's message to you today. Wow. Now if that don't float your boat, nothing's going to. And then, you know, a promise from God. And the Bible's filled with great promises. Okay, so I'm gonna find, you know, I'm reading and that promise is right there. I'm going to write it down. Then a command, okay? And a command can be a promise, but it can also be just a command, you know. Thou shalt not, thou shalt, you know, that kind of thing. But I'm going to write that down. And then I'm going to write down, how is what I learned today apply to me? Write that down. And then any additional comments, any additional things that God spoke to me about. Now, you know what? That can become mechanical too. Because I have to be sure that I am focused on dealing with my sin and not holding sin in my heart. So because of sins in my heart, I'm going to be stressed out. And you know why that I hold sin in my heart? Because of my pride. Pride is behind you being stressed out. Pride. Now, I want to encourage you tonight. Be the vessel that God can use today by asking the Holy Spirit to show you, and even tonight, as we bow our heads here in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to bow your head and ask God the Holy Spirit to show you if you're living a life that's not usable for God. Are you living in the sin of allowing selfishness and carnality to rule your life? Ask God to forgive you and cleanse you from these sins. Be all you can be for Him today and have a powerful testimony of living a Spirit-controlled, yielded, godly life that is serving with joy. And we encourage you today to make Jesus Christ real in your life by humbly yielding to Him and living for Him, not the life of selfish carnality. It's an eternal choice. Tell God you want to yield, submit yourself to Him today, and be a useful, rewarded servant. And dear friend, be encouraged today. You've learned something extremely important tonight. Now the key is, are you going to use it or not? Are you going to make it real in your life? I can't do that for you. All I can do is tell you that this is what God says. Now, are you going to let Him work in your life or not? Focus on being someone who can positively encourage others by being a Spirit-controlled person. Focus on it.